Bill Myers Show is on News Talk 106.3 KMED.
Proud to have Jim Bopp Jr. on the program here of the Bopp Law Firm. Jim, it's great to have you back. Well, I guess this is the first time I've ever talked to you. I've received your releases here for a while. I needed to make your acquaintance a little bit sooner, but welcome to the show. Good morning, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invitation. Happy to talk to you and your audience.
Now, you are a public advocate law firm? How would you describe your firm specifically?
I've been practicing law for 53 years, and I have sought to advance the conservative cause. So I've been very blessed to represent many national and state-based conservative not-for-profit organizations, Republican candidates, PACs, and Republican Party organizations. I represented the Republican National Committee in the United States Supreme Court, winning a campaign finance case for them. So I do this sort of federal law, federal constitutional issues, because there are some related to this, and so pleased to advocate for the tort system and how it protects individuals in using products.
Very good. And speaking of that, one that we have talked a lot about down here in Southern Oregon, because there's been all sorts of controversy about Roundup, glyphosate, these sort of things. Jackson County, even though it's a purpley county, we ended up voting a number of years ago for going GMO-free in our farming practices. So, in other words, no Roundup-ready corn or whatever it is down here in Southern Oregon. None of that is permitted. And there's a lawsuit that I guess I just haven't paid much attention to, and I wanted to find out what your connection is with it, about Monsanto claiming that if the government approves a product label, that means that we can't sue over damages over this. And I'm wondering if you could explain what's going on. You're working with Stand for Health Freedom on this, isn't that right?
I am. I'm representing Stand for Health Freedom, which is an advocacy group for informed consent by people to medical treatment and to other things that might harm them. So it's a pro-freedom, the consumer, the patient, whatever you would describe them as, gets to make the decision about what chemicals would be introduced or they may be exposed to. So they're a very strong advocacy group and see the danger in converting what is most people have always viewed to be a minimal standard, where in this case, the EPA, in implementing the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, requires label with respect to certain risks that are known at the time. And Monsanto wants to convert that from a minimal, that is a baseline, to an absolute liability. And that is very dangerous for customers and patients.
Is that sort of they're looking for a Supreme Court sleight of hand that would more or less implement a similar type of liability shield that vaccine manufacturers, for example, enjoy right now?
Yeah, the COVID, but it's not general. It was COVID, the COVID vaccine, and occasionally others. And of course, that's a good example of the dangers. That is, when you convert government regulatory process, which is not designed to investigate the decision-making process of the applicant, who's wanting to have be approved with a certain label, it's not designed to do that. And so what we saw in COVID's absolute immunity from suit for the COVID vaccine is, which we now know, is many of the claims for the drug were known to be false at the time, mm-hmm. and that there were known dangers which the manufacturers of those drugs did not disclose. And many people have been injured as a result. And we still, don't know the scale, even though it could be quite large, of the damage that was done by use of that drug. So you want a balanced system. You want federal regulatory regime that establishes minimal standards from the get-go. But the tort system is a backstop. It means that if people are injured, there is discovery. You know, it's an adversarial system with discovery in order to obtain, you know, in order to investigate what the company really did know at the time or has subsequently learned about the dangers of the product and therefore should be warning people about those. In this case, Monsanto, as a result of litigation that has resulted in very significant damage awards.
Well, we're talking billions, isn't that right, Jim? Billions of
$11 billion have been paid to various people who have been injured, in other words, got cancer in this case, from the use of and exposure to Roundup. It was found in those cases that Monsanto had written certain scientific articles, which were then published and they relied upon in the regulatory process. They suppressed adverse genotoxicity findings and sought to influence the agency's review process. And that was part of the evidence that resulted in very significant damage awards against Monsanto. Without the tort process, we would never have found that out, nor would these injured and wrong parties who got cancer would it be compensated.
I know that, you know, it's interesting, Jim, the relationship. By the way, I'm speaking with Jim Bopp Jr. of the Bopp Law Firm. It's interesting how people have a love-hate relationship. And I imagine you would experience this, too, within the, you know, the tort forms, the tort lawyers, you know, that sort of thing. And yet, they're a problem until you need one. Have you noticed that? I'll bet that happens a lot within your business. It's like, well, you're thinking, oh, those attorneys that are going and digging into it stuff. But it's really about setting a wrong right, isn't it? That's really what you're all about.
Yeah, and that's what its purpose is. And I'm not a tort lawyer. I mean, I've handled a very few of those cases early in my practice. I mean, I'm a campaign finance and election law, not-for-profit law, campaign, you know, constitutional litigator. But there have been excesses, and there have been adverse effects that need to be dealt with. But, of course, that's true with any system. You fine-tune the system, not do what Monsanto is seeking, create total immunity from any injury under any theory, under any circumstances that would result from a known danger of the product that the company does not disclose because it's not on the government required label.
Would you agree that some of our challenge has been the fact that there's so much of a revolving door between government regulatory agencies into the companies that they used to once regulate? I mean, boy, talk about an undue influence or, you know, perverse incentives.
And there's a lot of reasons not to rely upon government to do things, all right? And generally, that is my approach, is a government should only be doing really critical things because there's many, problems with their decision-making process. You know, part of it is their responsiveness to political pressure and, efforts by institutions or entities, you know, what we call it corporate cronyism in the conservative movement. We're not for that.
No.
We're not for corporations getting bennies out of the government that they're not, that the market won't give them. But this, you know, tort liability is part of the market regulation. That is ex post facto, examination of whether or not somebody who ends up injured by use of a product that the company should have knew of the risk and should have disclosed it. I mean, we have a right of bodily integrity. It's in the Constitution. It's protected by all sorts of different mechanisms, informed consent to medical treatment, advanced knowledge and warnings about products and their danger. These are all part of our own protection of our own bodily integrity. And so there is good reasons for this. There can be excesses that need to be fine-tuned and dealt with, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about total liability for everything.
Yeah.
And that is just intolerable.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Jim. Jim Bopp from the Bopp Law Firm once again. I imagine, though, that President Trump has, always seeking that balance, as you were talking about earlier in the talk. And I was kind of scratching my head because it was a few weeks ago that President Trump did issue an executive order prioritizing the production of glyphosate, which is what is in Roundup, saying that the herbicide is critical to the nation's security. Well, that might be one thing to make sure and keep it going in one respect or another. But on the other hand, protecting that for use by farmers responsibly doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to sue for it. Is that kind of the way that you're looking at it, the use of it?
That is the way I'm looking at it. I mean, something can be considered to be, have even critical importance, but that doesn't mean that people who are injured by the use of it as a result of known risks that were not disclosed should not be protected. So it's a balancing here that Monsanto is not seeking a balance. They're seeking a one-way street of total immunity from ever being held into account for failure to disclose to customers known risks of the product. And that's really an extreme position.
And from what I understand now, most of us, if we go and we buy a gallon of Roundup, it's not actually glyphosate. They're using a different formula now because of all of this. And only the professionals and the real serious professionals apparently are getting access to as much of the glyphosate as it once was. So, and what is the status of this lawsuit, Monsanto Company v. Durnell, that you've gotten involved in?
Well, I filed on behalf of Stand for Health Freedom, a friend of the court brief, amicus curiae brief, in the United States Supreme Court, because this claim by Monsanto that they're totally immune from any liability for the damages that they create and injuries to customers is going to be decided by the court. They're going to argue it. It's going to be argued this month. The briefing has now been completed, so we would have a decision on this by the 1st of July.
All right, very good. Jim, how can people find out more about your law firm and what you do? And I appreciate, attorneys like yourself doing this. Where can they find out more?
Well, hopefully it's simple. It's boplaw.com. Mm-hmm. That's B-O-P as in Paul, P as in Paul, law.com. And that's my website, and they can find out about my firm and what we do.
All right. Very good. Jim, final question I have for you. This is off the beaten topic that we have been discussing, but I guess the Trump administration is now on the search for a new attorney general after Pam Bondi was shown the door the other day. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of laying odds on Harmeet Dhillon. I think he's looking for kind of an attack dog. Is that anything you've given a thought to who you think might be favored on something like this? What do you think?
And I'm a very supportive of Trump and the administration, and but these kind of appointments have a lot of personal aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
Personalities, the extent to which the relationship between the president and the person. I mean, Harmeen, I know her. She's a very, very competent and fine lawyer. She'd make a fine attorney general. But there is, frankly, a deep bench of conservative lawyers who are accomplished, who could, do a job like this. So, she would be on my list, but there are certainly others. And of course, what I really look forward to is another appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court by President Trump.
Agreed. Certainly would appreciate that one, Jim. I guess, the thing is, I wonder if maybe people or maybe even President Trump was hoping to see more prosecutions, but isn't there a case to be made that prosecutions that actually stick take real time, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of patience for or time in such matters. What do you think about that, being involved?
Well, the way I view this, and it really has to do with any case I become involved in, and that is any case that is pursued, they should have what I call objective legal merit. Which means if you set aside, you know, human fallibilities or people with, you know, judges with ideological agendas or something like that, then under existing law you should prevail. And I'm not in favor of pursuing, you know, things unless they really have serious merit. I don't think the legal system should be misused in that way.
So just making your enemies that tormented you tormented is not the proper use, the way you would see that then.
I agree completely. In other words, the way I've always lived is the best revenge is living well and not pursuing people.
Yeah.
Unless there is a really objectively meritorious injury that deserves, you know, compensation or being pursued. But frankly, it's my opinion that there's no shortage of people in prior administrations that have committed serious wrongs, that have avoided accountability, and that for our system to work, we do have to hold accountable people in prior administrations if we expect future accountability by politicians and bureaucrats.
But you're very specific about it. You have to have really tight cases on this. You can't be just throwing something at the prosecutorial wall and seeing what sticks. Is that kind of how to interpret that?
Yes. And unfortunately, Trump was a victim of several of those attempts. And I don't want to see them repeated by Republican administrations. And I'd like to, you know, move into a place where we balance accountability, which is critically important, with making sure that in holding anyone accountable, that we have a very meritorious case.
James Bopp Jr., Bopp Law Firm, the Bopp Law Firm. I appreciate your talk so much. Good talk, by the way, Jim, and we'll have you back. You take care, and thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Waking up Monday morning, the 6th of April.